6 there too.
Life's grand.
Wait, it is Monday, August 16th. We would like to call the workshop to order. It is 6:02.
You don't have to. You don't.
It was the last one. Next, we have we do need to do the approval of the previous month's minutes. We were distributed July 19th and August 2nd. Were distributed for approval. Has everyone had a chance to review them? And if there are no edits or acceptance or corrections, then I'll take a motion to approve as distributed.
I make a motion to approve the two sets of minutes as distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes. Okay, next we have the Marina Bulkhead Repair Project Contract Award. Larry?
Member of the council had a bid opening on the 29th of July. He received one bid, Living Echo Systems from Houston, at a price of $31,285. The approved budget is $30,000. It was through grant funding. Staff and a bid award to bring the difference down by eliminating one limb near foot of the bulkhead repair, so reduce the cost to $30,843. I had anticipated that at least by today we would have gotten the revised bid. So what's in your package is the bid from the 2019, the original bid. Obviously that contract price is not correct. The staff is making a recommendation to award the contract to Living Echo Systems, and that's what the budget amount of $30,482.
Does anybody have any questions?
No, but you're still waiting for the actual. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we can vote on that next month once the final ones come in.
Well, can we approve it for 31 or for 3483 pending the receipt of the updated bid?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion we approve the. Who was that guy? Living Ecosystems revised bid of 3483. Contingent on receiving the updated bid work from him.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have the request for qualifications, professional engineering services. Larry?
We haven't put the engineering services out for bid for a prolonged period of time. This is becoming an object of questioning from funding authorities. Staff is recommending putting out the attached qualifications provided by the county attorney with some edits as a good procurement practice. And again, it is a time-specific task order proposal.
Do you guys have any questions on that?
What length of time is this for?
3 years.
3 years, okay. Does it say that in there?
Yes.
It does.
Okay. I'm looking right over it then somewhere.
It's at the bottom of the first page.
Oh, yep, yeah, okay. Very lifelong. That was the only question I had. I kept reading right over that sentence.
Does anybody have any other questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, so do you just need a... since there isn't any more discussion, do we need to have just have a motion to approve the request for qualifications?
Do we need to do anything? Approve and advertise.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve and advertise the request for qualifications professional engineering services?
Make a motion to approve qualifications and whatever else that was.
Second.
Professional engineering services.
Professional engineering services.
May I get a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have a solar project update.
Do you want me to do this one? we put this on here last week, not really knowing where we'd be at. I will say on Friday, I spoke with Preeti from MDE and updated her on the project status. She wants the town to submit a revised budget to show finally the Delmarva Power interconnection agreement, since we've actually received invoices. And then, aside from that, Scott Kane submitted 3 change orders to the town for additional work for the Delmarva Power interconnection. One is related to a time extension, which, based upon the engineer's recommendation, will likely be one of them for about $12,000 will likely be denied. Then there's one in the range of $60,000, and they've recommended approval, but we're waiting to see if all of those funds are within the contingency, the budget contingency. If they are, we won't have to come
unknown caller
back here anyways.
So
once Travis, who is the engineer at RAL that's been the construction manager on this project, was out last week, so I anticipate he'll get back to me any day on that. I'll send out an email just to let you know. And if it's outside of the budget, then it will be on your September agenda for approval or denial. But I suspect that it's within the budget contingency.
I would be afraid we're rapidly approaching the limit of the budget contingency at the rate we're going.
Well, the Delmarva Power is not in the budget at all, so that's a completely separate line item. So we have to revise the budget, get that submitted to MDE, and then they're going to go to the Board of Public Works for it. So the earlier we can do that, the better. As far as I know, the contract itself with Solar Lane, there haven't been any change orders for additional expenditures.
Correct.
So hopefully we're set there, but I will update you as soon as I know more.
All righty. Okay, next we have the American Rescue Plan Act update. Larry?
Yeah, Mayor and members of council, December 31st, 2024, gets closer every day. On the 26th of July, the town received its first funding allocation of $1,300,000 and some change. First action was taken on with the remaining outcome. Next July, town took action at the last meeting in the sum of $13,670, which is 0.52% of all the allocated funds, to replace lost building inspection revenues that the town incurred while the pandemic was active, and both it was a matter of people not opening their doors and town staff not going in their doors. There's a substantial sum of money that needs to start moving through. In discussion with Chief of Police, Public Works, Public Director, and some others, I've developed at least a program approach that works off of the 1%, 1% of $22,621,774. $26,217. So as you see the allocations, the proposed allocations, they are both some with percentage. And there is still pending guidance on some of the proposed expenditures. These mostly pertain to capital equipment. That's on the middle of page 2. But staff is confident that the proposed expenditures up to that total line of $1,778,561, which is a substantial sum of money, but yet still only 2/3 of what the town's been allocated, are covered expenditures, eligible expenditures that the county start at least taking some movement on. I would remind Mayor and Council that this American Rescue Plan is not a full employment act for engineers. It's not a requirement that these are engineer projects. It's a requirement that these are expended for the benefit of the community. That was the purpose of the law. That's the purpose of the guidance. So there are some relatively low expenditures that can be done in a year or two. Security camera system upgrades for water and sewer facilities. Steve can speak to some of those particulars. They also benefit the general security of the community if they're positioned appropriately to provide a larger span of coverage. Information technology upgrades to allow for remote work, and which is to say contactless work, not working from home necessarily, and contactless processes and transactions for community. Both of those expenditures are 1.5%, which is $39,325. The first one over 2 years, the second one over 3 years. Staff's proposing a premium pay for essential employees. You'll recall during the pandemic, every town employee was designated as an essential employee. The attorney's given us some interpretation. I'm happy to say I have an alternative interpretation, a broader interpretation, which I believe covers every one of our employees. If it doesn't cover me, that's fine. And then there's also community support for nonprofit organizations that have not been able to do fundraising during the pandemic. Chief among those that are in the community from the perspective of public health and public safety is the volunteer fire company, which wasn't able to do much fundraising beyond outdoor activities, but couldn't make use of their building during the pandemic. Staff is proposing a 5% of the total allocation, which is $131,085 to them, ideally for the purpose of turnout gear, air packs, personal protective equipment, and then, of course, working with the fire company on the American Firefighters Grant, which I don't believe the town pursued in any period of time, which is another federal pocket of money. So if we can leverage this, there's potential down the road to get more federal funding for the fire company. And then the big one, 46.7% constitute the two projects that were not funded, which is the water meter replacement, which was to the tune of $900,000, and the other one was the SCADA system, which was to the tune of a little over $200,000. Neither one of those were funded in the MDE funding cycle from the spring. This is an opportunity over the span of 2 or 3 years to pay for those projects, pay as you go, the ability to not have to amend budgets, go back in front of MDE, have more time, time delays on some of these things, but rather to pay out of the cash in the bank. So those that's what totals the expenditures to the tune of 67.84%. There's also some water and sewer operational capital equipment purchases, a backhoe and a mini excavator, which again are expenditures that I believe are eligible. The two that we're still waiting for some ruling on, which go down into the middle of page two, roughly account for one-third, which is to say capital equipment needs for a new trash truck at $320,000 or 12.2% over 1 year of police vehicle purchases at $235,200. The chief can speak to some of the specifics of the math involved in that, which again is not 9%. I would just remind everyone of some guidance that was received from the Government Finance Officers Association. This is relative to their own question and answer page questions posted. Can we use funds for the purchase of sanitation equipment, parenthetically garbage trucks, and or public safety equipment, police and fire vehicles, parenthetically police and fire vehicles? The response from the administrative Government Finance Officers Association webpage. The sanitation equipment is an eligible use. A under Section A, expenses related to COVID-19 vaccination programs and sites, including staffing, acquisition of equipment or supplies, facility costs, and information technology or other administrative expenses. And then public safety equipment is ineligible to use under Section C. Government services include provision of police, fire, and other public safety services. It cites the rule, the National Association of Towns and Townships posts similar. There's a question on there. Frequently asked questions page. The question is, reads as follows. What about expanding a transfer station due to increased garbage to the people at home? That's the question and the answer. This would be allowable in areas with disproportionate impact by the pandemic or located in a qualified census tract. Federalsburg is in a qualified census tract, and to the extent the community has lost revenue. Sanitation equipment is in eligible use, but expanding the transfer station may require clarification. Well, obviously, the transfer station doesn't pertain to us, but sanitation equipment would. So there's two out of three. The third in the group that's helping us, the State of Maryland Office of Management and Budget. I've had some back and forth with them. And as the gentleman said, they flagged our question. So their group is working on it. We should expect an answer. That's relative to the sanitation equipment and the public safety, the state police vehicles. So those are things that are on the horizon. Again, at that, assuming those two expenditures, trash truck, 12.2%, police cars, 8.97%. The town is still just under, or just over 89%, 89.1%. So that leaves a remaining balance of $288,000 that can be used without question towards tank maintenance and stormwater improvements. I want to remind everyone that the base saver, the $80,000 base saver system, was not funded for the Marina Park stormwater project. So that reduced that cost of that project, but it's still an outstanding system. If the town wants to put that in, we're going to be putting that in on our dime or somebody else's dime, but not the dime of the Department of Natural Resources. This is an opportunity to the tune of about $85,000 to work that into the stormwater project and, again, leverage the $300,000 awarded by the Department of Natural Resources. So that's where we are. Even at that expenditure, the town is still to the tune of about $2,000 and $3,000 in the black. We understand fully that there's going to be some operational costs that we're going to have to replace because we know we're going to be losing revenue in the next few years. Hopefully not much, but we've already lost revenue that's going to need to be replaced. That's where we stand now. I'm pretty firm on 67%. I'm less firm on about another 21.5%. But again, pending some interpretation, we should be able to resolve that in the not too distant future. What I've been told about the water meters is that that's an 18-month project. So whenever the date start, we have to get to 18 months in the future before all the water meters are turned out. And again, Steve's here. If there's any particular questions about that project or the SCADA, I'm sure he can give you a hand. That's what I got, provided for informational discussion purposes at this time. I'm happy to bring anything back in September for action, and I would certainly recommend some of the easily eligible, no questions asked about the eligibility, lower balance projects forward, as well as that little clarification that perhaps we need to do on the premium pay. So that's what we got. And keep in mind, funds cannot be used to offset tax cuts or pay for employee pension. Funds can be used for road repairs associated with water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. So if we tear up a street, we can repave it. Tear up the street for a water line, we can repave it, but we can't just fix streets, not with this money anyway. So that's where we are. Chief, can you give me information about the expenditure sheet attached to that's attached to this with the police vehicle upfront sale rather than the leasing.
Chief, you're up?
Sure, Madam Mayor, Council. So, we don't get too many opportunities dealing with capital projects to move forward and secure money within your budget with these funds. The rescue funds allow this. So what we looked at in working with the town manager was trying to identify things that fit within the realm that we can do that also allow us the luxury of freeing up future dollars that we would have had to spend. The police vehicles, the fleet has to be maintained. That's a no-brainer. The enterprise funding, you can see the projections. I think that the beauty of this, if we do this with the police vehicles, is we're taking care of our vehicles probably for the next 7 or 8 years. So it's not something the town will have to actually visit for several years in advance of where those funds are. If we buy new vehicles and bring those in and make those part of our stock, we almost get a 150% on those cars, because those cars come in, you keep them for about 4 or 5 years, you get 100,000 miles on them, and then we put them into our rotation with Enterprise and get the money back on the sale of that vehicle also back instituted into our budget. So you can see where that starts compounding multiple times into your budget cycle, and then you're not having to put money into the budget to pay for things because you've got a balance in there from your credits and your reserves. If we're paying it forward, which is what, you know, my recommendation is approach it from both those angles. One of the hardest things with the rescue funds is going to be identifying areas that qualify so that you can maximize the benefit to the town. So maximizing that benefit means freeing up money within the budget that we know that we would have to spend. And the further down the road that we can kick that can, and we're freeing up, in this case, you can see the numbers on the projection for Enterprise. Well, those are real numbers that you'll free up within the budget that we will have to spend at a certain point as we move forward, just to maintain the fleet, keep things going the way that we are. So that money's real money. It's projected money. It doesn't take into account all the trade-in value. So that might be reduced, but we don't have to project that when it comes to taking the money out from the rescue funds, which means there's even more savings in that for us overall. So we're looking at real costs, offsetting that, paying that forward, using rescue funds to actually buy police cars outright and put those into the fleet at the same time. These are two ways you're coming at the same problem, and you're just solving a problem, you know, for multiple budget years. So for us fiscally, that's a big deal, because the cop cars and the upfits are always going to be a big expense, just like any other vehicle is, within the police department budget. That is one of our primary capital expenses outside of the police building itself. So I would just highly recommend that you do that. The only other caveat that I think the town manager alluded to that tonight is there is a date certain for these things. The funds do need to be obligated, and we need to be obligated up front, because the economy is what it is, and we don't know what they're going to be looking at next year. But we know they've obligated it now, and if we obligate it now, it's a year for us to get the police cars in anyways before they're even useful to us. That money can go into that budget and can start to be cycled as a credit with Enterprise. We can start going ahead and making these orders. The Enterprise orders for us, if we're doing it through Enterprise, those funds need to be allocated by October for the projection for these years ahead, because we're adding more than we normally would. New vehicles, it's the same thing. The orders have to be in the fall for the coming year. So we would want to obligate those funds. If you're in your September meeting, if you decide that, yeah, this is equitable, we want to move forward with it, that's the time to obligate it so we can take action on it. That's all. We're not really crunched at the moment, but if you're moving in that direction and that's what you want to do, you have to do it now. We have to make some decisions in the next, you know, 60 days to say, yeah, we're going to do it, so we can go ahead and obligate these funds from the feds, and we can go ahead and place orders knowing that money is sitting there for us to do. And I'll happy answer any questions regarding the lease, the contract, the pay forward, or the new vehicle costs, which are estimated in there, because I don't know how inflation's going to impact that, but I did add 5% into that cost for us.
So the upfit fee, those are for each of the new cars that you're bringing on in that year in order to retrofit them with all of the police gear that's needed.
Yes, and we absorb that, so the new cars, they're going to absorb a certain amount of equipment that's available already that we already have purchased. So we're offsetting what we would normally already have, and that fee is going to fluctuate. I estimate that it's probably going to be somewhere between $7,000 and $11,000 or $12,000, depending on what we put in them. The more money we have available to move towards this, the more money we can free up in the budget with other police expenditures and things like that. If you would buy new radar systems, well, that's money that you're not having to spend out of the fiscal budget for the next couple of years. These are all things that are just operational. The department has to do it. So it basically will reduce, ultimately, fiscal. Our budgets will probably stay the way they are. And that's what I was telling the town manager, is it's not so much that we're going to have these great reductions in spending as much as we're going to be stable. You're not going to see increases in spending, because the increases, whether it's salary or whether it's other equipment or other needs that you have, they're going to be met by the consolidation of this money into that budget. So you're going to have a flat line where your spending won't increase, but your revenues probably will. And there are other areas where you're probably going to make money. You'll probably make money off the water meters, because when you change those out, we did it in Pocomoke, those impellers are bad. You're losing money every month that you go off an old meter. So these are areas where you'll probably see a benefit. And the benefit that you'll see in the police budget moving forward is a flat budget that doesn't extend beyond what you've been spending since 2018 or less. So that'd be my guess.
And most time can the equipment go from old car to new car?
Yeah, a lot of it can. If it's the same, we try and stay within the Ford class with Enterprise. We're allowed to do that. We can buy whatever we want. We just get better prices each year, depending on what they negotiate. We stuck with the Explorer because of that very reason. So the money that we're investing today, when we go to switch a cage out or switch a trunk out in the back, it's the same. It's not going to be that different.
Right.
So we don't keep you. Is there anything you can share with that meeting you had with Preston?
I don't see, we can share this. I mean, I don't see Preston acting on that, and that's probably, for us, is probably not a bad thing. They're not in their world, progressively thinking about public safety. Their idea was just to use existing funds to supplement what they already have, which meant for us just one person, added on. And for Federalsburg, that's not really a good plan. Our plan was, if they wanted to expand some service and actually provide coverage, they could add another $60,000, and then we would get two people. And that makes sense for Federalsburg. Doing one only made sense as a bridge to get to two, if they were going to commit to it. And they just don't. I don't know if they're defending the fact that they spend the money they do for what they get or whatever, because I couldn't get, it's hard to get people to understand that you're offering them twice as much coverage for the same amount of money. It's almost like you're a snake oil salesman, and they're looking for what's wrong, but it's because they just aren't getting a good deal, and they don't really realize it, because they're probably the ones that negotiated that deal. So they're kind of married to it. And I'm, when I left there, I said, hey, I came here on the grace of a mayor and council who were willing to do this for you. I didn't really want to have to answer to another mayor and council. I didn't want to have to deal with another 1,000 people's issues and problems, all for the sake of us having a little extra coverage available for our guys. But I was willing to if it would make that happen. So they didn't say no. They didn't say yes. I think they said they wanted to chew on it. And I haven't been recontacted by their city manager saying, hey, You know, we have some follow-up questions or whatever. I gave them the plan that I showed you. It was pretty straightforward. And I think at this time, they're going to stick with what they are doing. And I walked away, and I actually kind of thought, well, I'm not unhappy about this. But I don't see that changing.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Larry, for the IT portion and for the upgrades for remote remote work and more contactless processes and transactions, does that portion also include the module that we discussed about for permits?
Correct.
People to be able to apply and pay for permits online without having to come in?
Correct.
Okay.
Next. I didn't address the surveillance issues either, but we would expand the current system that we have so that we would cover more of the main areas, especially up towards Royal Farms and some of the areas where we're blind right now. It would upgrade some of those cameras and give us a little bit more capability with it when it comes to the public surveillance. So it's a small amount of money, but it's a significant improvement for us.
Any improvement in that area is helpful, so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I'll say that I'd like that these are all projects that we can tackle ourselves and we don't have to get the engineer involved and spend money elsewhere. I mean, we're going to, you know, see the fruit of this directly. So that's a definite bonus to your plan.
That was one of the goals, was to keep the overhead down as much as possible and to put this once probably in a generational opportunity for funding for the community into the hands of the benefit of the community. Public health, public safety.
I do have a question, though, about the replacement of the water meters. So the estimate would be that that would take 18 months to replace all the water meters?
Everybody's buying water meters. So
is that part of, that's not just our staff replacing, that's also the back order of all the towns doing the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, when I've spoken to the gentleman at Suez specifically, said don't consider anything less than 12 to 18 months. And wouldn't actually even give me how before we could start, because there's the backlog of waiting. Bandron or whoever only produces X number of water meters, so we have to get in line with our order for water meters.
So are there other towns trying to do a bulk purchase?
I'm sure there are many towns trying to do
that. I mean, like, no, so, like, if we partnered with, like, Preston or some other town, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're buying 50,000 water meters versus 5,000 water meters.
Well, we have to get agreements with that. I mean, that is specifically addressed. Do they encourage regional projects? And the answer is, yeah, they do.
Right.
Because that maximizes, again, it leverages an investment of money.
Right.
Everybody's got to be on board with what it is. And again, you know, whether that time lag to get everybody on board or what the specific item is worthwhile compared to what we should do self-sufficiently moving forward, I'll leave that as a policy discussion. But there's a time lag. Time is my concern in this. Not our ability to do this.
Right.
Time is my concern here. I mean, we're 3.5 years out, and Old Denton Road is 2 years on a drawing board.
Right.
And no shovel in the ground.
Right.
So that system and process can't be the one that we apply to this.
Mm-hmm. So we were in that, though, we are also putting new water meters in, right? Are we putting the new water, remote read water meters in since we're putting new water meters in?
Steve? I don't know the specific of a water meter type that's going in.
Okay. I mean, because that would make sense.
It will be whatever we're going to put in the future, that will be what we'll put in those meters.
Okay.
It would be a waste to do it any other way.
No, agreed.
It would just be coming out.
Right, agreed. Okay.
So we would need to if that's one of the projects that the Mayor and Council see fit to do, then we would need to know that probably sooner than later, so that we can talk to Mr. Suez or Morales at Suez to see what the he seemed to think census meters were okay. He didn't
Right. I mean, I'm kind of with Debbie. I mean, the water meter to me is a no-brainer. Being able to remote read the water meters and freeing up town staff to do other things, I think is definitely something that needs to be prioritized. And if we need to get in the queue now, then we should be getting in the queue now, considering if it's an 8 to 12, or, you know, 12 to 18 month lag time for orders to come in. I mean, and I don't know if we would be able to use some of that money to help supplement town staff and putting them in so they get installed faster. I don't want to buy them, and then it takes a year to go around and put them in.
Actually, that is them installing them.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, is like, will make it so much better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're looking at, you know, they would bring on whatever staff they needed to put them in at a certain period of time.
Okay.
And once we got that contract or whatever signed with them, once the meters were able to, they were able to get the meters, then they would have a certain time frame and a certain amount of days to get it done. So, again, you know, say you give them 180 days or whatever the contract says. Once they get the meters come in, bam, their time starts.
Right. So we're also going to need, that's going to need to go out for bid because of the amount that is.
Correct.
For procurement, for proper
Correct.
Procurement, which also adds lead time.
Correct. And again, it's
Correct.
It's a question of brand loyalty.
Right.
There's Neptune, there's Badger. I can't tell you which. I'm sure everybody who does this for a living
Right.
has a specific that they swear by.
And did it have Right. to? Did they have to be made in America? Was that parameter in the ARPA?
I don't think so.
I would recommend
it. Well, yes, just in case, but if there's in the fine print somewhere, I thought somebody told me that they weren't sure, but they thought that there were stipulations in there that the money had to be spent, you know, locally on U.S. parts. But
it's a fine policy if it is a policy. It's American money for American products.
Right. So, okay. Do you guys have any other questions?
So, how quick can we go out the bid on it then?
You probably just need to know the amount of meters that you need and figure out, I guess, I would first look to Old Denton Road to see what they're using, and if that's already been specced as the best for the town, then you might want to specifically advertise for that meter.
I would recommend it that way, and also the industrial meters, because the industrial meters are relatively few, and that they should be the first ones replaced. Because we know we're going to see a benefit by capturing more water usage on those meters. And there are only 29 or 30 of them. So there's going to be less of an issue queuing up for those. So I would recommend get those done. That's probably doable within the next 6 months to have all those 30 meters procured, changed out, and show some benefit.
Well, that also gives you an idea of if there's any issues with those particular models or whatever. It's a good test to make sure that we don't need to switch mainstream because there isn't any issues with them. Does that number also include the fire company and all of the churches?
We can do that. We can do that.
I think it needs to include them. We just need to have an idea of, like, for leaks or monitor watering use, just so we are aware of what is going on. So I think that number, and they should get the industrial ones. I would think for the volume, I mean, I guess you could check the water meter bill. Well, we don't know what they use.
They don't have one.
So we don't have any data on those, but as to warrant whether, you know, the volume, whatever the volume is for an industrial meter versus a household meter.
And again, all the account information has gone over. Anyone who's asked, and at this point we've only got one who's asked, which is Suez. So they're not my preferred anything. They just happen to have been the one who's asked the most questions about our system, and they've received the most information about our system. Once we put it out to bid, we're going to get what we get.
Right.
But at this point, there's one particular vendor that's taken an interest in acquiring a baseline of information.
All right, so I think we should start moving forward on that one, at least to start getting that bid out and processed and ready to go.
And then I would speak to a broader interpretation of essential workers under premium pay. essential workers are those in critical infrastructure sectors who regularly perform in-person work, interact with others, or physically handle items handled by others. Critical infrastructure sectors include healthcare, education, childcare, transportation, sanitation, grocery and food production, public health and safety, among others, as provided in the interim final brief. Governments receiving fiscal recovery funds have the discretion to add additional sectors to this list, so long as the sectors are considered critical to protect the public health and well-being of residents. I don't know any of our employees. I'll exempt myself from this statement. I don't know any of our public, of our municipal employees who don't add to the overall well-being of our residents. During the pandemic, everyone who was answering the phone or interacting with a member of the public was providing that kind of essential function. We had people become critically ill. We had a member of our staff pass away from the virus. I don't think that was people who are shirking their responsibilities to meet an obligation to serve the public. That's not a legal opinion. That's an administrative opinion and a moral one. So I'll leave it at that, up to council's discretion.
So you're asking for all employees?
I'll exempt myself. What this constitutes is it constitutes a straight time 80-hour one-time payment. Typically with our overtime payroll runs 45,000 hours. Again, it's 1.6% to the tune of 41,974, which basically serves as the 27th paycheck for our employees in a paying year cycle. Again, I'll exempt myself so we can take that out as well. It shows a modicum of respect for people who have been working every day during the pandemic. And yes, I understand they've received a paycheck.
I'll probably be the only one on the council, but I'm telling you, I'm not 100% in favor of it.
You're not the only one. I have the same. The
police, they've already received at least one, if not two, correct? Have you not already acquired money for the police officers through the pandemic for extra pay?
No, sir. No. We did get retention money, $500. Okay. Last year from the state for retention and recruitment grant through the state of Maryland.
Okay.
That was not, you know, not matchable. We've had five staff that have had COVID. We've had two hospitalized, and of course, Ms. Pender passed away. You know, obviously the department's been heavily impacted by it, but everybody showed up and everybody's done what they're supposed to do. I don't look at this as, you know, we're working around people that are getting time and a quarter. The state pays premium pay to troopers, the deputies, the county gets time and a quarter premium pay for their staff and what they're doing. And we haven't even thought about it. We haven't mentioned it to anybody, and no one's coming and clamoring for it. But in discussions with the town administrator, I can tell you that it means a lot to staff for it to be recognized. I mean, when guys are showing up, you know, we go back to March and April of 2020, when everybody was cowering and didn't know what was going on. Everybody kept showing up. That's when all my people got sick, by the way. And I've had people get sick since. So I just think, you know, you want to say something's a nice thing to do or something is a prudent thing to do, something that sends a message, you know, to staff. That was a sacrifice for them, for their families, that they came out and they showed up and they got it done, then that's what it is. It's a bonus that recognizes that sacrifice. Yeah, everybody got paid, but you know, a lot of people didn't have to show up, and a lot of people got paid to stay home, and a lot of folks in the, you know, in the community got a lot of that type of incentive, you know, for themselves, which police officers were not, you know, they weren't receiving that. I didn't have anybody getting paid because they got to stay home. So it's different. It's different from different perspectives. But I look at it simply as an opportunity. It's also an opportunity for you to weigh in a year where the cost of living is probably going to be 5%, for you to offset some of that in a meaningful way without necessarily having to obligate yourself to it on a permanent basis. just something to think about, because they're going to get hammered. Everybody's getting hammered right now. And the employees, in order to be held, you know, stable where they are, this is an opportunity for you to do that without money that's coming directly out of your pocket. So I would just ask you to consider it strongly from that perspective. And sometimes, you know, if you got to hold your nose and say yes, then do so. But it's important. It's important to staff that we retain these people and they see that we appreciate that. And it should be made well aware that that's what it's for. It's for your appreciation of the sacrifices that they have made. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it, including the town manager.
I'm happy with that myself. Appreciate that. I don't need it to be an issue with our lawyer. As to, well, I'm serious about that. What constitutes protect the public health? I admittedly do nothing to protect the public health along with the residents. I have to exempt myself.
But it's also in recognition of what you've gone through.
Happy to exempt myself. So that saves another lot, maybe lousy 0.2%. I'm happy to save a lousy 0.2% out of 100%.
So this was also, is this including the two new employees?
They're working through a pandemic.
I understand that, but one of them what, has been here 6 months and the other one's been here a month. I'm asking for
yes,
clarification.
It does.
Okay.
Every employee. We lost employees who worked during the pandemic and left. They're not going to come back and get a check.
Does anybody have any other questions? So are you just looking for guidance on what to bring back for the September meeting?
Ideally.
So I would say definitely the, you know, my opinion, I think we definitely need to get the water meter process started, especially
yes,
since it has to go out for bid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that needs to be a priority.
Agreed.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, I'm mixed on the employee premium pay. I was a employee. I went to work every day. I am not up for getting a bonus because I went to work every day, and in Arundel County's philosophy was your job was to go to work every day, and that's what I did, and that's what I did. Would it be nice if they appreciated me for that? Yes, it would. I would, you know, be very appreciative of, you know, the full 15 hours were, you know, that we put in every day to get stuff done. But it's kind of, you know, I don't know, it's a, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I mean, I am an essential employee, so it's a hard one. It's a hard one for me to be like, yes, I appreciate it, I get it, but I was also one of the people that collected a paycheck every day, and I was a very fortunate person that I didn't get laid off.
I'd give it to you just for driving to a nap.
Well, on the plus side, I didn't have much traffic because people weren't working and weren't going into the office, so thank you, Councilman Windsor, I appreciate that.
I would imagine that contractually, it's probably built into the police department, the county fire department, the public safety, the EMS people. And because most of those are union shops, they probably have premium pay built in. So they probably all were receiving it and all the time that we were under an emergency declaration. So, you know, I don't know about the public schools or, you know, the county itself, but I would imagine that they were, because most of those shops over there immediately went to that as soon as that declaration was made.
Some of that depends on their negotiated agreement. Our Unit 3 people, which are custodians, which are cleaning, right? They're cleaning the schools, but yet there was nobody in the schools. They got bonuses. They got an extra $75 a day because
right,
we didn't have any snow. So they took the snow removal budget and they gave it to custodians.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't cleaning up puked on Chromebooks and, you know, dealing with biohazard situations like my staff was. But
right,
their negotiated agreement allowed for that. Our negotiated agreement didn't have that in there. So
right, it's unfortunate that they did not do right by their people, but I would encourage you to do right by yours.
So are you're looking to do the 80 hours all at once, as opposed to like half now and then half after we make sure that we have enough to cover everything that we need to cover?
Yeah, if we can't cover 1.6% at the end of, on December 29th, 2024, there's been serious mismanagement. The mismal and nonfeasance are all of the above. If we can't cover 1.6% less.
I have some mixed feelings about it, and I brought them up the last time we talked about this as well, but I will say it's a small amount in a really large pool of money. So the 1.6, and I do understand on one side, paying everybody equally, but I'm not sure I don't know if that's fair to the people who did work. I mean, if you showed up, you're saying, that you need to reward these people who showed up every day for work. Well, you've got people who showed up for 18 months in a pandemic for work, and then you've got somebody who showed up for 30 days after the bulk of it has passed. I don't know that you treat those people the same. So I don't know if there's a different way to figure that out. That obviously that's more complicated, but I don't know.
Yeah, but the state's rewarding people to stay home.
And I also struggle with some of my. I typically try to take the high road, but. I live in a household of essential workers that, also weren't compensated, and my husband was just happy to be able to keep his doors open. So, I'm trying to put those emotions aside, but
so Larry, what I would say for September is we need to be prepared for the bid to go out for the water meter replacement so we can get in that queue, and then for the employee premium pay. You can bring this back for September.
Not moving on IT or the security cameras again.
Oh, no, you can. I mean, I'm okay with the security cameras and the IT. I'm okay with bringing those forward also. I think those are all needed items.
For the fire department.
So originally I thought it was only 60,000.
Well, it could be done over 2 years. Again, it's a total of 5%. Nonprofits are specifically, there's an entire section specifically speaking to nonprofits and nonprofits' inability to raise money during the pandemic.
I've got no problem with the 131,000. The town has historically not given the fire company enough. Historically, they haven't. We give them enough each year. That would be about what?
I think it's 20,000 they get each year.
Yeah.
Used to get more than that.
And it's not been more than 20 for some time, and. That won't get you a fifth of a new truck. No, not a fifth, but probably a lot.
We do have to have a lot of upgraded turnout gear for them in, because it's only good for 10 years.
Right. I knew you would knew that that was part of the plan to use the money for the turnout gear.
And a lot of turnout gear, and then there's some other things that was on the wish list of a lot of the officers.
And again, there's brand loyalty, but at least on the AirPax side, correct me, Scott is sort of the preferred. Other people like Scott.
Scott and MSA.
And a set of turnout gear and an AirPax setup is 12 grand, 13 grand. Ballpark.
$4,000.
Ten, 12 sets here. No sets.
And you guys
that
need that many? I mean,
what the
turnaculous? Yeah. I mean, I'm not being snarky. I just, no. You know, is that enough? I mean, how many do you guys have up there?
Well, we can move some of the other to the ones that don't attend as much and give to the ones that do attend. And, then, and that's roughly around 20 head that show up a lot.
So this would get half of the new gear?
Yeah.
Okay, so for September, you're bringing back the water meter bid, the employee pay, the IT upgrades, security camera upgrades. Am I missing something?
Are we going to move forward on the new trash truck?
We're working on that. We're looking for guidance on that.
To make sure that we don't go buy it and somebody says, oh,
you know, we have to return $325,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know if I can take many more weeks of garbage truck being down.
Or what day is trash day? I mean, you were doing a great job notifying everybody.
You really were, but
I
had a look last night.
I went to Facebook. I was like, oh, I need to put my trash can out. Yep.
Who collected trash day? Okay.
Is that trash truck down yet?
No, it's back. Ready for next week.
You sure? Because if I send out any more messages, and then have to correct them.
There is nothing with, there's no consistent, the only consistency with the trash is inconsistency with that truck, so.
Okay.
But again, that if it is an eligible expense as at least two particular sets of guidance were pointed out, it gets the town out of that $60,000-$70,000 loan payment with USDA grants and loans.
And it gets us out of that unknowing payment of breaking down every other week.
Right. And then, also, Chief, when do you, for the police thing, does that need to come back in September?
I think we're waiting on a, I mean, I feel like our guidance is pretty solid on it.
All right.
I think you should act on it in September, even if it's contingent upon something that we don't know yet. Because if they say, you know, yes, if we should have it by then, I think. So if the guidance is there by then, you could, at least you give the opportunity to give it a thumbs up or down.
Okay, so
we can
be prepared
forward
with that one also, yeah. And then if we are still waiting, go ahead.
My one question on that, I just don't want to be put in the position where if I'm still sitting here in 4 years or 5 years, that all of a sudden we have all the cars go at one time and we're in the need of having to replace 5-6 cars all at once.
Yeah, and that's your enterprise agreement with the lease agreement. So in its essence, you spend, we're going to spend $50,000 on a new car. And let's say that you buy, even if you don't buy any new cars, if you just pay the enterprise agreement forward, well, then that's not even an issue that we need to address. If you fund that and you still buy, say, two cars or three cars and put those into your mix, when those cars do cycle up in 5 or 6 years, you know, it's 5 years or 100,000 miles. When that happens, you're going to sell that car that cost you nothing. Enterprise is going to give you about probably 40% of the value of the car back into your budget. So you're getting 140% return on that car that you paid nothing for. So you're not only going to get it paid for now, which is 100%, you're going to get the return investment by turning it in, and Enterprise giving you that money in your budget going forward, paying for that car, which right now runs us about $9,000 a year in payments for those vehicles. So, I mean, it is probably, out of everything that we've got, It's an investment in ourselves because it actually does continue to pay us going forward. It turns a $40,000 car into a $60,000 car for us. But with the car values what they are right now, you're not going to be replacing those all at the one time. Even if you did, Councilman, even if you replaced three in 1 year, the value that you would have would pay for that bill for at least the next 2 years before you ever had to kick anything in. And you've kicked it so far down the road because you've pushed this down the road 5 or 6 years that by the time you do, the residuals are going to kick it another 3 years before you ever have to cough up a single dime. So, and then you could go back into your gradual payments the way that you do, and the credits are built into the lease agreement. So, the only reason that I proffered to the town manager you adding some new cars into your mix is because of it's an investment for ourselves. It's a way to eat up some of this money in an area that is qualified. Because normally I would say, no, we don't need to do that. We cover the enterprise money. We're good. Yeah. But if you do that, you're just saving money down the road that right now because it's money you have to spend or give it up. And if there's anything else that came up and we said, hey, look, we're going to spend money on that, I think that's great. But if not, this is money in the bank.
All right. So if you purchase a car, then the enterprise will buy them out, even if they weren't purchased.
Right, because you guys, USDA paid for the Dodge Durango,
right.
20 Dodge Durango. In 5 years, when that car goes back in, right now they want to pay us about $16,000 or $17,000 for a 2017 Explorer. Okay, well that's residual money. You've already paid for that. Well, the new Explorer's $40,000. So you can see there's already an offset on that when you trade that car in and get your next new car. And because that $17,000 is paying for that car for at least the next 2 years, because the payments are about $9,000 a year. So you've already got your car covered for 2 years just by trading in an old car to cover the new car. And that's the way that this system works. The height of it, you can see what the height is when you look at those budget numbers. But that doesn't take into account the trade-ins. That's just the actual number that we can project and we can pay out of our own pocket without counting the trade-ins. So it's I told the town manager, I said, of all the things that we do, this for us projects the most favorable credit into our account. So I would strongly consider you for the money that we're talking about. And when you get down to where you're trying to figure out where you're going to spend an extra quarter of a million, it's going to get hard because of the qualifiers. What do we do? Where are we going to? How are we going to use it? Well, this is something you can, and then it'll be money in your pocket later on. So for whoever's sitting in your table, councilman, or whoever's sitting in my chair or in the town manager's chair, that's a problem that they're not going to have to worry about for many years to come.
If I could add one thing to that, it also gives the town the opportunity during the years when we're not buying cars to actually start a process of saving money to be able to not be able to purchase things as we go. There's nothing wrong with having money in the bank and spending it on the things you need.
Mm-hmm.
The compounding debt upon compounding debt upon compounding debt has gotten us to the point where what we get ordered to report, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
The inability to bring money in and the compounding of debt.
Okay, so you're bringing back in September the water meter, the process to start the water meter bid process, employee pay, the IT, security, cameras, and the police cars.
Correct.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. And the fire company.
And the what?
Donation to the fire company.
Oh, yes. Yep. I'll write that on. Okay. All right. Next, we have September regular meeting date.
It's Labor Day.
Hey.
So, we're here or we're not?
You say we're not. So, are we moving the meeting to Tuesday?
That's fine with me.
You guys okay with the Tuesday meeting?
Yeah.
It is a Jewish holiday, but that's the name you need to participate in here. Okay. So I will get that meeting set up on the Zoom for Tuesday. Okay, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Let's see. First, I'd like to commend Larry on his handling of the complaint about the marina for the last couple weeks. Yes, I was real impressed with the way you handled that. I went up to Chambers Park and I was kind of cleaning up. I picked up, I bet, a half a can of trash. And I noticed one of the picnic tables in the center has collapsed and it just broke. It needs to be disposed of. And thanks for getting that trash can moved. And while I was there, I just kind of noticed that the top of one of the trees had broke off and fell down. So I walked over by the railroad tracks. There was three of them over there that were completely dead. And my concern is safety. They need to really be come down. And that's it. Thanks.
Councilman Windsor, was the broken picnic table in by the area by the log cabin, or was it in the actual pavilion? Just so
no,
they know where to...
No, by the log cabin.
By the log cabin. Okay, because there's two batches of the picnic tables.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Sewell?
I actually don't have anything this evening.
Councilman Phillips?
Nothing.
Councilman Marine?
He's got a list.
It's going to make up for Councilman Sewell and Councilman Phillips.
while you're still here, what can you do about people living in town for a period of time without state tax?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great question, Councilman.
I know back in the day when a school teacher come from Pennsylvania, they had 6 months to get Maryland registration. What's the law now?
It's 60 days. Once you're in the state of Maryland to have your registration turned over. There is normally the state of Maryland, the transportation and MBA actually has investigators, and they're supposed to be doing that job of going around and identifying those areas. They used to actually come into towns on an annual basis and look for those type of violations, and then they would come back, you know, 90 days later, and anybody that was still there, they would tag. But they don't normally do that anymore, so it falls on local law enforcement. And I suppose it's something if we know some specific people that, you know, that would benefit from that type of reminder, please let us know who they are. We have a transient population, obviously, from Delaware here.
I could do that. Well, I've got some people that moved in here from Pennsylvania, and they weren't here 2 weeks, and they had Delaware tags on their vehicle.
Yeah.
And don't even live in Delaware.
Yeah, that's unusual. And COVID shut everything down, of course, but now everything is operating the way it's supposed to, and there's no excuse for it. We do, you know, obviously we are happy to do that and take action and enforce it. There's no, the profit is not to the town. Obviously the profit is all to the state of Maryland from that perspective. So, you know, if that's a concern, we'll certainly look at it.
Okay. Next thing. On Hope Street, on the east side of Hope Street, we put a no parking from here to corner. Side, right there at the fire hydrant. I think we need to have one over on the other side of the street. Well, there's not just a tractor trailer, there's a pickup with a trailer, and then there's another pickup with a trailer.
How do you know that we ever put up signage out there?
There's a sign on the east side of
the street.
On the
east side, but
yes.
Not on the
north. It needs to be one on the west side. Okay. We were talking about trees a while ago. We have two in the triangle that should be coming down before they fall down on somebody. Uh, And then, last but not least, this will be for the code enforcer, 417 Academy Avenue. He needs to read his manual on animals in town. There's goats there. And if you don't hear them behind your house, something's wrong with your ears.
Are they mowing the grass?
I don't know what they're mowing. You can't see them, but you can hear them.
My dearly departed beagle always let me know that there were goats just on the other side of the fence. And my understanding was that the goats were kept as pets. That was the interpretation.
No.
Sounds like you got your goat.
Boom, boom.
Happy to look into the goats.
I mean, there was one person that was exempt years ago. He had horses, he had goats, he had those pigs.
Pot-bellied
pigs, chickens, roosters, peacocks.
Peacocks, don't forget the peacocks.
Yep. But all those have died and he has passed away. So
he is no longer exempt?
No. But these people haven't been in Fredericksburg that long that they shouldn't be having goats. And that's all I got.
All right, that was a good list. On the tag comment, I know exactly of one that is in one of my neighbor's properties. Maybe we should also be reminding the landlords that when a tenant moves into their house, they have 60 days to transfer their tags to that residence, to the state of Maryland, and failure to do so could result in a visit from the Fredericksburg Police Department. I walked the dog this morning. I saw Public Works. They were down there picking up trash just making sure everything was cleaned up. They generally do that on the Mondays. And Larry, thank you for keeping us in the loop with the ever-changing trash situation. And keeping up with posting the stuff on Facebook. We had signed up, but I got the phone calls and the messages to remind me about the trash pickup. So hopefully that's helpful in getting people to sign up that don't have Facebook. I have told my neighbors that have asked me. The best way is to sign up on Facebook because you don't always see it on the town sign. Sign up or call the number and sign up for the automated reverse 911, because I think that is helpful. And if we can put a notice on the next trash bill that says a reminder, you know, just because there are some people that don't have either any of the social media. So.
Right. Yes, looking into those are pre-printed bills, so we're looking into at least having a one-time printing of police.
Okay. Ways
sign
to keep
up.
In touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sign up.
Yeah.
With the website link there. So.
Okay.
It's simple enough.
Okay.
One of the things we're also looking at is getting a kiosk to sort of move us into, 2006 technology in the empty room out front. Put a kiosk in there, just put a laptop that's got the town website up. This way, if people want to transact anything, they don't have to come to the counter. If they don't have internet at the house, they can do it there from the business office.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful too.
And
that's
it's
a good
self-serve,
idea.
So again, it helps people be more sufficient.
Right. Yep, good. Okay. We do have a request for an executive session. Can I get a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel regarding a specific individual, please?
As long as somebody doesn't go into labor, we'll be all
right. We'll see. I think I'm good. But.
Make a motion to go into closed session for a personnel discussion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. We will now enter a closed session.